You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Does picking an outfit have you running a little too fashionably late? We get it. Great taste takes time. That's why Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery, has your back with the largest selection of beer, wine, and spirits delivered in under 60 minutes. Convenience never goes out of style. So if you need to spend some extra time in the mirror instead of at the store, download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's DRIZLY.com today.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Will these fucking things work here? Can you hear me? Yeah, I can't hear myself. Can you hear myself? Well, then fucking hello, my little fucking Hershey squirts. It really blows my mind because I remember Hershey always showing a bunch of titties, and I haven't seen one fucking pair of titties yet. Not one. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves, lady. There we go. Titties. Where's the camera, guys? Guys, you see these titties? Look at that shit. Come on, baby, show the whole group. Look at, she got nice titties. Look at that, guys. Who's your boy? Who's your fucking boy?
Them on the glass since 2015. You're listening to Cobras and Fire, a Pantheon podcast featuring your hosts, LC Fox and Baco.
Let's go, let's go. Welcome to Cold Whiskey Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I am joined, as always, with the rejuvenated Baco. How are you, sir?
Nope, not doing it, man. You are not going to distract me or the audience with an adjective today. We are have waited this long. We need to hear you tell us, how was Motley Crue and Def Leppard?
Oh, that's where you're going here? You're throwing me? It's my responsibility?
Yeah, they were just in town. I saw tickets where soup's cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I could report on that. I really wish I could. Do you want me to hit that real quick or no?
Yeah, why not? I'm talking about, of course, the stadium tour. Was just in Denver there a couple days ago. You sent me a text me a screen cap of like tickets that were available and what they cost. So I assumed you went.
Yeah, I have been watching like a sick, addict on this because I just find it so fascinating. The difference, just across the board of ticket prices, and for whatever reason, they never went down. Here's the final result. I was looking, seriously, the day of, as of 2 o'clock, I was still considering going. It never dipped under 120 through Ticketmaster. It was always, quote, sold out, verified reseller. So 135 is the cheapest ticket. I can't validate that for a multitude of reasons. All the people getting money involved for a show that I know is going to be $50. $50 is my ceiling for a show I know is going to be subpar, okay? Yeah, and for show material. Yeah, and just to clarify, that was 135 for Coors Field all the way at the top,
okay,
all the way in the back.
That's basically an affordable ticket.
Okay, sure.
All right, well, here's the latest update on they're coming to my neck of the woods on August 14th. Last time I could have got two tickets for as cheap as $35. So this episode, it has actually gone up quite a bit. The cheapest I can find, upper deck, row 21 in section 338, which is, boy, where is that? That is not a good angle. $107 a piece. So it's increased quite a bit now that we're getting closer to the show. Kind of the opposite of how I thought it would go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that dynamic pricing. Springsteen fans are getting their fucking panties in a bunch over that. I don't know if you heard much about that. I've never heard this before. This is a ticket scenario that somebody that tried to buy Springsteen tickets relayed on Good Morning America. And it was when they bought the tickets, they were $250. But when they got to checkout, that price had already increased in that time to $650 per ticket.
Jesus.
That should actually be fucking flat out illegal, man. It's like, no. You said it was, and that's not with fees. You know what I mean? Like the $250 price went to $650 because of demand, which is what dynamic pricing is. So I encourage everybody to just tap out. Say fuck it. I am not doing this until you make the playing field more fair for the consumer. So figure it out. Yeah. Fuck y'all. If I have to buy a ticket through fucking Ticketmaster, I'm not doing it. Live Nation, I'm not doing it. I might go to StubHub or Ticket King, but it's going to be below face value. Otherwise, I ain't getting it. Yeah, start fucking drawing a line in the sand. Go see a band in a club. Buy your tickets at the box office. Skip all the fees. Get out and have a life a little bit. You know what I mean? We don't need to keep playing this game. But but back to the stadium show, the stadium tour. I am a little disappointed because now now it shifts to me. You know, now,
yeah, now it's your responsibility.
Yeah, and I don't even want to go. Like, I don't
see, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have a good time. Like, it's like it was at 200. It finally dipped down to 120 plus fees, and that's as low as it went. I was just shocked with this whole thing. But going to that with what you just said about the club thing, that's part of it too. Like, I looked at this too, and I'm like, even for show material, $130. Where could I spread that to better support rock?
You
know what I mean? Like that is three mid-level shows that I could go to in a club and see a band that I, you know, is up and coming
Clutch is on tour. Go check them out. Or like
Clutch,
you said,
there's new by band. The way, there's a place that does it right. Like whenever they go, their tickets are all they're playing the Fillmore here. Every ticket in the place, $39. Done. There's no bullshit. Like, they don't have any like resell. That's what it is. I'll give you another one that failed again, and I don't want to get too long on the tooth in this segment, but you know my experience 2 years ago with Pearl Jam. Wanted to see them. before the pandemic hit. I did their new thing, which is called Verified Ticket. I signed up, gave all the information, got the code, blah, 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 got in line, got in by the way, Pearl Jam, all tickets, $99. Doesn't matter where it is. It's whoever gets in line first. That's it. Okay. And I got fucked on that one. I did it again. And I just was told, just we're out. So that doesn't even, I'm saying, even when a Pearl Jam tries to do it the right way, it puts a ceiling on that. I still can't go see them because of whatever bullshit, getting in line. It's like you get into like a virtual line on the app is what happens. And then by the time you get checked out, you're out.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the solution is my point. Even somebody like that is an advocate for fairness. You still get fucked.
I'm just beyond belief that there's anything that can or that will actually be done, because right. It's just the way of the world right now that anytime you do try to get something that says, hey, we can't do this, this is not how you have to do it. They take that, find a way to fuck around and get around that and just still fuck people over. And I'm just kind of tapped out on the whole thing. This show has only made me more fucking jaded as much as we've covered this to find out how involved so the artists are. It's just, it's so slimy because, again, I always go back to my original point. It's just a fucking ticket, man. Okay? I'm not buying stocks. You know, and why aren't we blaming the president? Because he's in charge of everything we don't like.
This is Biden's fault.
Yes. Fuck you, Biden. Let's go, Brandon.
I'm putting those stickers on goddamn
ticket windows.
Ticket windows. That's right. What do you think?
That's a great idea. You know, real quick on the stadium tour, I don't know how much to get into this because I haven't had a chance to. I haven't seen it double verified, but I watched a video. It was on Blabbermouth. It was a story on Blabbermouth that it looks like Tommy Lee is not playing when the drums start, and then he kind of catches up. And it's like we've always just assumed the drums were going to be live, right? But now you can lip sync fucking drums. Just
good Lord. Well, his ribs. So now he's doing. He's got.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Right now, I've just pissed off at least a handful of Motley Crue fans that are going, "What do you expect? His ribs are broken. You know, this guy's 60 years old. You know, he can't do it. What do you expect? Just go out and have fun. What's the big deal?" Go watch. Go watch professional wrestling if that shit's good enough for you.
Yeah. And now they have a ramp leading up to his drums because he's scared of stairs.
We all are, though. I think
that's true. Yeah, I think we can let that one go.
My house is all ramps now.
It's all ramps now. What's the code you have to have at all the buildings? You have to have a ramp to get up and down.
Oh, some kind of handicapped accessible.
Sure. All podcaster houses.
That wasn't my excuse. I just wanted to make sure people in a wheelchair could get into my house. Not
right, exactly. This wasn't
so
not that you have a fear. Yeah. Not that you have a fear of stairs. Sure.
Oh, man. Well, this has been fun. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks, man.
Okay, sounds good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Rock's not dead.
Hey, you know, you were at a cornhole tournament yesterday.
is that the transition?
There it is. I don't know if you saw. Conveniently, ESPN was playing one of their cornhole tournaments.
Oh, yeah?
And Chris Cinzak bemoaned the lack of the NFL. Like, why do we have cornhole on TV? We need football back. And I'm just like, don't be hating, man. My boy's out there. He's about to fucking win a cornhole trophy.
Goddamn right. I got up. There's a buddy of mine that I went to. I basically got, I call it concert credit in the future for me dragging him to some show that he doesn't want to go to. But saw one of the, he's a very eclectic personality. And I saw, you imagine me, I saw what's called, do you know there's a genre called drums and bass? That's like a electronica music. Do you know that this exists? It's not EDM, but it does involve DJs.
And it's like, it goes like the terminology for drums and bass?
The terminology is just called drums and bass, like these mixers that mix all this stuff together. He listens to everything from the Dead to heavy metal to this, because he's all over the place. But I said, all right, I'll go. And the point of that is they didn't start the old man thing real quick. This is the night before the cornhole tournament is where this is going. Mm. The actual headliner didn't start until 12:30. I'm out. I don't care if fucking I'm seeing Led Zeppelin and Guns N' Roses or whatever like that. Like 12:30, your performance, I am half asleep. I am an old motherfucking man. I ain't 31 anymore. I'm not 41 anymore. Do not start at 12:30. That's all I got to tell you right now.
It is Friday night, though, bro.
I don't care.
I got a cornhole tournament to win tomorrow.
I got cornhole. I got home at 2:30 in the morning. There was no way I was going to be up to par at 10 in the morning the next day for cornhole tournament.
So that's what you're going to blame for losing your first two matches?
Double elimination tournament. I was done. We went into the toilet bowl tournament because in that one, and then eliminated first round, all because of that goddamn late night.
Yeah, because you were actually bragging about your cornhole skills to me.
Was I? By the way, I will never
did you
brag
not
about,
say, yeah, I'm pretty good.
No, I said I'm all right. I'm okay. But here's the thing. In the Midwest, we call it bags. We don't call it cornhole. That's a very
aggressive
name.
Yeah, I've heard it called bags, too.
Bags. Cornhole? Where's the corn? There's a hole. Did people used to throw corn into there? Is that how old this game is?
They probably filled the bags with corn back in the day.
Okay. It's all coming full circle now.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they definitely called it bags in Minnesota before I ever heard cornhole. I think I heard cornhole for the first time when I saw a tournament on ESPN. And it was long enough ago that when you saw something like that on ESPN, you almost like stopped and watched it for the oddity of it. You know, it's just, the fuck is, they're showing this?
And I will tell you too, they had a guy right after, that actually inspired me to check out the album Power Slave afterwards, which I've never heard. Never heard that album in full. No kidding. Iron Maiden, Power Slave.
You don't like Iron Maiden very much.
I don't like Iron Maiden that much, but okay. Anyway, he has a pair of Killers cornhole boards, and I got to tell you, the guy that had them, that designed them, he was the person that eliminated his front. There was 20 of them. I call conspiracy. He was playing on his own boards, which he knew how they worked and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
this is why
bullshit. You
got to get the professionally made ones. I know you were saying that you have to build them because they're easy to make. I think you just want to feel like you've made something, you know, like with your hands. But no,
some are slick, some are rough.
You get a regulation board, and you're good to go. So,
yeah, I tell you, I'm telling you, there were ringers. But that's it. That's the update on that. You want anything else? It was a hot day. I put in my work.
How many Coors Lights did you drink?
I had, that was the thing too. Like, I was doing, there are certain things in the world where you're like, okay, this is totally fine. It's fine that I'm at 10 o'clock in the morning having a Coors Light on a hot day playing cornhole, where otherwise not acceptable.
Got to wait till like 11:30 if you're not playing cornhole.
I think that's
or
true.
Or mow the lawn or something. You know what I mean?
Then I had four, but I had knocked over two. So I think I had 2.5 total in quantity during that. So,
well, the joke there is that you stayed hydrated.
I did. And I never get drunk because I was Coors Light. So I need whiskey, according to my listening lately.
Oh, God. There's more whiskey talk in episode two.
Great.
Yeah,
I need whiskey.
Out, Tuesday. But so when people hear this, it'll already be after.
I'll leave one more thing on that with the whiskey part is that I mentioned. I go, hey, have you heard of this whiskey that they put into a barrel and they take out to the sea and it gets all salty? And my buddy who drinks who drinks all the time is like, it's a bullshit thing. That's nothing but bullshit. Just a gimmick. Don't go into it. So there you go, Gene.
I think you need to call
barrel.
Your buddy out. So if you're going to fucking insult Gene Vogel without mentioning the guy's
name. I'm not insulting Gene. I'm insulting the guy. It was a gift. Just saying. I just think it's hilarious, all these things. Here's where he season it. We're taking a journey.
It's very smooth, you know.
Okay. Oh, defending it. This is how you do it. The only way to get good whiskey is you put it in a barrel and take it out to sea.
Nah, I won't quite go that far. I'm definitely not a connoisseur of whiskey. I know there's the ones that burn and I don't like, although I use that for cooking. Yeah. Like your Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, that kind of nonsense, or Old Crow.
Hey, that's a good beer, but where has it traveled?
Yeah.
Let me see its vacation schedule.
Yeah, it's not really the same process making
no,
beer and making
I
whiskey.
I don't know. Hmm. We'll see.
I don't know that temperature variances are good for beer in my experience.
Oh, look at you, mister. You know how to brew beer now. You know the travel. Okay.
Hey, how come
sorry.
I thought about this the other day. Like, I'm surprised you don't make your own beer. But then I started putting it together that, this explosion of craft brews, like brew pubs and places, like where basically every city has 90 different places making the same four beers.
Mm-hmm.
the one good thing that came out of all that, the one good thing, is that we no longer have that buddy who's making you try that fucking bottle of whatever thing he made.
Like, he's still out there.
Check my latest batch. I don't even see those kits in stores much anymore. So, you ever have a friend that made beer?
Yes. There's a guy at work. Like he brings fucking, it in.
Well,
got
it tastes
his own
like
bottle.
An IPA. That's what I think of when I think of an IPA.
Well, they usually, it's never good. You always kind of go, oh, Jesus Christ, it burns. And then you just go like, it's not bad. It's not bad.
It's like, oh, it's got a little hint of it. Like, that's the bull semen.
I know.
Biggest thing news-wise going on right now is the Pantera reunion.
Yes.
Now, of course, Josh Toomey is already been out front and given his thoughts on this. I liked how he basically dropped it on Chris Aiken. Chris Aiken hadn't even heard the news, and like it's almost like you can see Aiken getting physically uncomfortable listening to the whole prospect. He's like, I don't like it, God. And he's like, and he kind of starts working through who could be the guys in the band and stuff. And then he's just like, God, I don't like it. And he's like, but if it comes to, I'll pay $500 to go see this. So I was just like, okay.
Hey, it's not that bad. You pay $50 and you get to hang out with your bros. That's how you get to hang out with your buddies, right? Just like a Dio hologram.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. Look, I'm not big on these kind of things. This one's to me, when you're reuniting with only two of four guys because two of them aren't with us anymore, it makes it a little more palpable for me. But the fact that we're talking about, especially Dimebag not being part of it, it very much is like trying to do Van Halen without Eddie. Or you know what? Another one I thought of was Nirvana. Could you really do Nirvana with just somebody that is respected as a singer, go out and then Dave and Chris could be the band. You could bring in Pat and then just have like, you know, well, they had Joan Jett at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know who the guy would be, but the point is there is just some bands that it's difficult to carry forward. You know what I mean?
Well, this would be the same as doing Van Halen without Alex and Eddie, the two brothers. I mean, that's
sure.
Basically, you know
what
I mean?
But
that's what's happening.
I honestly think if it was just Vinny or just Alex, I could accept it a little more. But the sound right. and the image and the drive of the music is so centered around Dimebag and Eddie in those instances. So that said, I was not shocked when I found out that Zakk Wylde was the pick. I literally have heard that mentioned probably before Dime was in the ground.
Yep.
You know,
yes.
So that's the name that's always been thrown around. Charlie Benante was a little surprising to me. And I
really,
I'll explain it here. I talked about it on Sends Out Mike's Out just a little bit, but we're going to flesh it out with a little more detail here today. Okay. Well, Charlie, the last three shows I saw, he didn't play any of them because of tendonitis in his knee. I actually asked him about that when he was on our show, and he said it's just something he's going to have to deal with the rest of his life. So what I'm saying is, I think as a drummer, he's a really good fit. But this guy has not been able to finish a tour in 5, 6, 7 years. So
that's a very good, you know what, that you bring up a very good point on that, because I have seen Anthrax probably 5 times in the last couple of years, and probably 3 out of the 5 times he wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
So no, right. Maybe they're only going to do like 10 festival dates. It's going to be a Danny Wimmer or AEG kind of deal.
Oh, they haven't even announced the...
It just says 2023. I think there was one show announced, actually, like in this year. But anyway, let me turn it over to you.
Yeah, I mean, as I've mentioned many times, I'm not a Pantera fan in general. Like, I just, you know, that's one of those, I guess that and like Iron Maiden are the two like oddities that I guess I've never got into being into the genre as far as me being just like an avid fan, because those are the two that people lean on so much as far as like it. But I mean, I don't dislike, I don't know. But when I heard the announcement, these are the two people that were the only way that this would be accepted into the community, I think.
I think there's a handful of drummers that would have been okay. I don't think it had to be Charlie. It had to be somebody like
Zach,
that. You know what I mean?
Okay, how about that? It had to be Zach for the replacement. Because I've heard
I can't
that.
Think or, of another. I can't remember some of the names I heard tossed out. But it just, it never seemed it went anywhere other than Zach. He does seem to hit everything for you.
Right. So you had that and the fact that Anthrax and Pantera have had kind of a nice, you know, like a relationship. They played on each other's album. Dimebag has been on some of their albums. So that it kind of just made for me, I was like, okay, well, that feels somewhat good. I do think that they shouldn't call it Pantera. I mean, they should have a different name. Like, I think that Wild Pantalions would be good as far as for a tribute or possibly Charlie Pantante would be decent. And that would be more accepted. But if you have to call it Pantera, you have to call it Pantera. Those are the only two that would work.
I think they should call it Zach Wild featuring the surviving members of Pantera.
I think so. And the conspirators.
And the conspirators. Yeah, Miles Kennedy should sing.
That's right. That's what should have happened. It should have been Miles Kennedy on lead.
You know, Phil isn't quite, is, you know.
How would you like to, you know what? I would pay $120 plus fees to see Miles Kennedy singing Pantera songs. What do you think?
Oh, man. I might.
You know, I walk.
It's not out of the realm to think that like Rex or Phil may have to tap out of a show or two and that they'll carry on with some kind of replacement deal. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but man, the way everything goes nowadays, I wouldn't be fucking terribly shocked either. But
sure.
I don't know, man. Look, Toomey is taking the side of like, oh, you guys all support the Kiss reunion. No, I don't. You're okay with, no, I'm not. No, really, I'm not. So I've never really been a big one I'm not sure where he was going with that. And to be fair to him, we didn't get into this too much when he was on the show. So I don't want to put words in his mouth either, but he said he was having some, conversations with people online, like where he was going after him and that I'm going to go the other way where basically it's like, well, if you're okay with this, then you're okay with pretty much anything. I do get the outrage and a lot of the reaction. I also know this is probably going to be a huge success. A lot of those people are much like Chris Aiken. At least he was honest. You know, he's like, I hate this. I don't think they should do this. And I will absolutely go. I will travel 4 hours and pay $500. but I don't want them to do this. I wish they would just figure something else out. And a lot of it is that, you know what I mean? A lot of times people have opinions that just because they think that way doesn't mean that they're, you know, also like this is now their life's mission. You know what I mean? I think we get caught up on that kind of stuff.
I'm going to go just because I'm going to make one of those big poster boards. And it's going to be that cover with that guy and the little jock strap from the one of their early albums.
Yeah.
What's the Magical Mystery or whatever it's called? I love those old Pantera albums.
Have you listened to them, though?
I have. And I immediately turned it off. But like their logo is almost like that seal. Or that logo. They're like mascot or whatever. It's like that seal on the Riot albums. I just love those old album covers. So I'm going to go for that. I'm going to make my shirt. I'm going to say that just keep out screaming out song titles from that album.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll dig deep into the pre-fill stuff. That's what...
I don't think so.
I know so. Yeah. I might be able to nail the set list within 3 songs, I bet, if I wanted to.
I still have to say one of the greatest things it is impressive how long that they I don't even think I knew that pre-Cowboys from Hell stuff until 10, 15 years ago, like that it even existed. I mean, what a great job they did at burying their past, right?
I'm not sure that, well, that might just because of where you were at with your fandom with them, because I knew about those records before I heard their second record, or the Vulgar.
Cup.
You know, so, but that was because I had friends, you know, and as a matter of fact.
I see what you did there.
It was unintentional. The sentence ended just as I was trying to segue. I actually knew a guy who had... he was from Texas, and he had one of their early records. I don't remember which one it was, and we never listened to it at any point. I didn't become a big Pantera fan until after, probably a couple years after the last time I talked to that guy. But yeah, for me, it was Mouth of War that kind of pulled me in, and then I started listening to Cowboys from Hell again, and giving that more of a fresh ear than I did when I first heard it.
Whatever. I think I became a bigger Pantera fan after those Panera Bread memes.
Okay.
Vulgar display of
it's a
whatever.
Pun that pulls the LC in.
It is. It's always a pun.
Yeah. I do not recommend Panera Bread. It's a very, very mediocre run franchise.
Again, I will again push for Wild Pantaleons.
Wild Pantaleons. I'm sticking with mine. Zach Wild and the surviving members of Pantera, like they're being announced to present an award at the Grammys or something. Yeah.
Okay. One fits on a t-shirt better.
Yeah, it sure does. You mentioned before we got started this morning, you had some, you wanted to share some of the stuff that you're listening to right now. What do you got? I don't really have a whole lot of new things to share, so I'm going to turn this one over to you, to LC on lead guitar.
Sure. All right. So a couple, well, first I'll start with one that's sort of related for the last thing we were talking about was with Charlie. Anthrax, I don't know if this has been out for a week, 2 weeks, something like that, but I was just alerted the fact that Anthrax put out, I guess it's their entire, I guess, COVID concert they did for the 40th anniversary.
The 40th anniversary, they released it on Blu-ray DVD.
Okay, and it's available to stream too, so you can.
Of course. They still sell a physical product, man.
Anyway, so it's called XL. The cover's pretty badass, where it kind of just morphs all their album covers together, which indicates that maybe they're playing some stuff from the Bush era. No, they are not. So it's like 25 songs,
they didn't
no
do
Bush.
Only.
Nope, that we've got no Bush.
Okay,
no, nothing at all. Like, so omits those four albums completely. With that said, there's a couple. You know, I don't know how necessary this is, but it does show how tight this band is, and it's a little weird because there's no crowd, but they do a cool mashup of the beginning of Time from Persistence of Time into Fight 'Em Like You Can't, so that's kind of a different arrangement.
Okay.
That kind of kicks off the show. That's pretty badass, and it's enjoyable. It's got just the Joey years on it, but
they streamed it live at the time.
Right.
Yeah, during 2020, I believe.
Yep. So I'm definitely going to check it out because I think it would be more entertaining than seeing the actual Blu-ray is my point. Solid. It just goes to just reinforces every time I've seen them live. They just sound great. I recommend checking that out. And then as far as new albums, actually, I'll just hit this one first. Super confusing, but all of a sudden, Boba Flex drops a new single. Mm-hmm. I'll Blow Your Dreams Into the Sky. Have you heard this single?
I have.
Okay. I'm going to give you my impressions on it first. First, for those that are unaware, that Boba Flex is now mostly, or they came out with a new version called the Lonely Ones, because one of the lead singers, which is brothers in the band, Sean McCoy, decided he didn't want to tour anymore, wanted to stay home and everything like that. So they just changed the name of the band, which kind of changed the sound sort of. But really what it did for this single is I have listened to the single probably 15 times in the last week. I realized that it cannot be understated that Boba Flex is one of these bands that inspired me to start the whole revival of, like, here's new rock that people don't know. Mm-hmm. This song shows me kind of like that Sean is sort of the Gene and Marty is kind of the Paul. What I mean by that is that there's more melodic stuff and Sean's more rougher, more the angrier songs, which is this is definitely an angrier song. I fucking love it. It just shows that what it was missing with the Lonely Ones, even though I do like them too. So I really enjoyed the song. That's my quick summary.
Yeah, I dig it a lot too. I think it's an apt comparison with, you know, Sean being more like the kind of gruff character. Singing wise, they're not that easy to differentiate other than when you see them live, because they have very similar voices, but they also harmonize well together. Yep. And so you get that. But yeah, I think Sean brings that kind of that roughness to the band, and that is probably the biggest difference between the Lonely Ones and Boba Flex. And I don't know what this means. Is it just Sean coming back with the current Lonely Ones, or did they bring back that Jake guy as well for this? I'm assuming not.
The way I understand it is basically that I think that here's what I think they're doing. It's like why wouldn't you just call it the Lonely Ones and just have him in there or something like that? They've already changed the label or the name of the band.
And my question is it just Sean and the Lonely Ones? So
I think it's the guitarist that now is not in Lonely Ones 2.
Okay.
Because now their bassist is
Jake Early. So Jimmy went back to bass for the Boba Flex song?
That's what I understand, yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of like they're a five-piece in that setup. Mm-hmm. But really, I thought of it, I'm like, why would you do that at all? Like, and confuse people about the two entities. And it's like, okay, I get probably why. Because there's probably just like a cheap trick that can tour the general zone. Like, they probably can book bigger shows in the area that they have a following, and then maybe they can have Lonely Ones as the opener or whatever like that too in that zone, and that those guys are cool to tour within like a couple dates in that area. So that's probably wise. They can probably demand more. I mean, I don't know why else you would throw that band, you know, that name out. Maybe they're going to actually do recordings, but either way, fucking love it. And I just say I went back and checked out Hell in My Heart. I checked out Charlton's Web. I haven't listened to those albums in full in quite a while. Mm-hmm. So I would just say nice. Eloquent Demons, Charlton's Web. Jesus Christ. Those just go back and you will hear the melody and the pure rock and roll that revs my engine. I don't know. It was like a revival of sorts to go back and check those out again.
Nice.
So, and then one last one is I haven't been into this band for over 10 years. I could take or leave anything that they've put out. And that is Shinedown put out their album Planet Zero, which is a concept album.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen all the liner notes, but I think it's they're back with one of the writers for Sound of Madness. Because it reminds me a lot of that album. I fucking love it. I've listened to it repeatedly, and concept albums don't always do it for me, but this one has really grown on me too. Like, I liked it out of the gate, but I've liked it even more now. So it's actually climbing. I know that people could be like, this is too much for the themes, but I like it.
I've only heard that song Planet Zero, and that was pretty disappointing. It lacks any melody. It's really just kind of, it's our Planet Zero. And then message-wise, on a personal note, it actually kind of irritated me. It's Look, it's no secret that we're divided as a country, but I think this is almost like trying to take a stand by not taking a stand. This is like watching the bully in school beating up the weak kid and then walking up and going, why can't you two? I'm just sick of everybody fighting. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that message, it doesn't resonate with me. But I'm encouraged that you like the rest of the record. Because I'm a cursory a fan of them, but I also don't adhere to the magic bullet theory that you do, where it's like, well, if this guy is involved, then it's going to be good. And so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Look at Bob Ezrin's your attitude towards the last couple Cooper records with Bob Ezrin. It's never quite as simple as, like, they must have this guy back. Who knows? I don't know enough about Shinedown to even know who you're talking about. But just on a personal note, you know, I mean, not everything that who's that guy from the 80s that everybody used?
Ron Nevison?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking songwriter.
You mean Desmond Child?
There we go. Yeah. Not everything he did was gold. I mean, we've all heard Poison.
Yeah. Exactly. Did he do a Poison song?
No, the song Poison by Alice Cooper.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Oh, God. Poison could have used some help.
No, you know, I say
that was a cheap shot. Poison did okay without him. Am I led to believe that you read another book?
I did, yes. I read Chuck Klosterman's The 90s. And if anybody's familiar with Chuck Klosterman, that he did Fargo Rock City. He's done a couple other. He's got like 8 books now. Actually, he has a novel, too.
Yeah, he did. He did that book where he went around to
Killing Myself to Live.
Myself to Live. I like that. That's the only two by him I read is Fargo, Rock City, of course, and then Killing Myself to Live. But
yeah,
he's a good author. I was curious, though, after reading Fargo, Rock City, like where he was hiding during my entire childhood, because he was just retelling pretty much note for note how I was raised.
Right. Yeah, that was probably my favorite by him still. But this one actually... This would be a number 2. I haven't listened to that. I haven't listened. Jesus. I haven't read that one.
Oh, it was
one.
An audio book.
Nope, not this one. This one was actually, I read it. I read this one. It's true. I got to return it to the library.
Oh, you even went got it from the library. My Lord.
Goddamn right. Look at me. I had to go pick. There's a bunch of books that my son has to read over the summer, and they're on this list for school. And I was like, I'm here. I might as well get books on Van Halen in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
So I went and got those too. You know, that's how I got the other one, too. But anyway, so the 90s, I got to tell you, I highly recommend this book. You go, there's a lot of things that you think you remember about the 90s that are different. And that kind of is the theme of it, of like it's, you know, when the internet was being built and where our memories are kind of, it's politics, it's OJ, it's fucking Pauly Shore, yeah. it's music, it's all pop culture. But it, it really kind of... it's deep, it's analytical, it's funny, listen, you're listening to this show, that's probably a majority of your time you grew up too, so it's interesting to go back to all that and kind of the pre-internet age and where things were going, but more politics than I even thought that I expected, and it's very interesting on that end too. So anyway, Chuck Klosterman of the 90s, if you liked Fargo Rock City, go check it out. Just think of that kind of, like, I would say Fargo Rock City is kind of like the 80s book for him, right? Sort of.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. It's definitely all about that time. So, well, before we get into this week's Van Halen tour, not tour, reunion update, I do have a couple shout outs, or I don't know if these are just mentions I mentioned to get into in the past couple episodes, and I just haven't remembered to do it. But Jason Kearney, I did want to give him credit for bringing the Tracy or the LA Guns AARP tour to my attention. That was
absolutely.
I think he shared it in the Cobra group, and that kind of spawned me digging into it more. But so thank you very much, Jason. Has been a long time listener and supporter of the show, so I appreciate that. And then our friend over at the In Obscuria podcast, co-host Robert Harrison. Now, as people probably picked up if they're regular listeners anyway, I on occasion will whip up something to eat. I enjoy cooking. I've always enjoyed the process. I enjoy cooking at home. I've done it as a career when I was in college. I do not enjoy that. Two different things. I'm prone to look for basically every recipe in the world is on the website. The problem is it comes with like a story,
a novel,
and it's just like my, you know, this is how all, and it takes forever to get to it. And then a lot of times when you click the recipe, you want to see the recipe, you have to click a link after you click the link on the recipe.
Sure.
My boy, I posted some comment about that and basically saying, Jesus, this is, you know, can we get recipes that are just the fucking recipes? There's a website called Just the Recipe. Robert Harrison shared the link on my post, and I have used it about a half dozen times since, and it is magic. It, like, you literally just copy and paste the address of the where you're at, put it in there, and all you get, these are the ingredients.
Even if you're on a different page, it filters out the bullshit.
Yeah, it's a brand new thing. It's basically looking at like a recipe card.
Love it.
Yeah, so justtherecipe.com. And I'm just saying, Robert Harrison has probably saved me about a week and a half of time online breaking down a web a recipe that I've used, because I've used it six times. So anyway, if there's anybody else out there listening that enjoys cooking, justtherecipe.com. And all credit to Robert Harrison to bringing that to my world. So
yeah, no, I'm down with that. I can't stand that shit. Hey, let me tell you about this great recipe. But first, let me tell you about my dog.
Yeah. All right. Well, Wolfgang Van Halen has now been, you know, he kind of has danced around this whole Van Halen reunion. Is he part of it? Is he not? Blah, blah, blah. All that good stuff. He has gone on record a little more deep, basically saying some people are making it very difficult to do. And with some of the recent reports, I think we can just basically assume that the some people is David Lee Roth is kind of the fly in the ointment. It's almost supported by that Rolling Stone article we talked about last episode, where Eddie talked about, like, everything we want to do gets held up by Roth. You know, maybe that's the case. Maybe it isn't. And who knows the reasoning, you know, whatever it is. But I thought that was at least somewhat interesting that Wolfie decided to actually elaborate a little more.
No, I think so, too. I think that's the zippity-zippity-bop clause.
Yep. Bosdy-bosdy-bop.
Bosdy-bosdy-bop. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Line 12.
So, I don't know. Look, I don't know if I even care if this happens or not. I love the fact that every time we record, within a day or two, there's somebody else involved leaking some kind of new kind of comment out. So,
yeah, I just can't wait till former bassist from Metallica weighs in again.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and meanwhile, Gene just said they're adding 100 shows to the Kiss the End tour. Don't know.
It means they'll be back here again, probably.
Yeah, I guess.
Where are you going to go?
I'm not sure. I don't even know what I think about that. I think I largely just don't care.
I think they're probably going to go back to Dubai and this time film it and record it.
Yeah, where is the Dubai merch? Maybe you should focus those 100 shows, the days you're going to do that. Maybe get into that Dubai merch. Still unbelievable that people are still waiting and not even
you would think that there wouldn't be anything shady from a country named Dubai. But somehow it happened.
Yeah, I wonder if it's something. It'd be great if the Saudis are holding it. They're like, sorry, but you have to invest in our golf league. You have to invest in the Live Tournament, guys. Otherwise, we're not giving you this back. So
yeah, I think I've seen a lot of Biden did the stickers on the on the fulfillment factory at Kiss Online. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's this is the penalty for Paul licking his middle finger.
I think so too. Right? And not changing, saying bitch or something, or didn't say bitch. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, you know, yeah. In the little sadder Kiss news, Michael James Jackson passed away since we last talked. Producer of
yes.
Creatures of the Night and Lick It Up. I think he did the Killers stuff as well. As well as he worked on some other cool stuff. I'm just drawing a blank right now. Oh, you know what? He did Hollywood Vampires by LA Guns.
Still a album I have not listened to.
Really?
Just like Power Slave. Maybe I'll just go check out all these albums now.
Hollywood Vampires is solid. I think it's better than Cocked and Loaded.
That was like their third, right?
Mm-hmm.
Third or fourth? Okay. Yeah, I'll check that out. Easily the two best produced and I'll just say the two best albums of the 80s, right? Creatures and Lick It Up.
Lick It Up for sure. Creatures is up there. I mean, I'm just thinking of the records from the 80s. Yeah, I'd probably put, yeah, absolutely. Those are the two best records of the 80s from Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, rest in peace. That guy,
I forgot The Elder is in there. And
oh, sorry, but produced.
And we're talking about, I actually like his production better than the production on The Elder.
Okay, you'll at least concede that, yeah.
I'll give him that. Those Killers tracks, I think, are revered a little too much in the Kiss world. They're okay.
Are they really revered? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You want to see...
Oh, yeah, down on your knees, fucking killer.
You want a lot of the swim trunks filled with boners. play something on one of those four tracks on the Kiss cruise, man. And Unmasked was an 80s record, and I think, that album
produced,
is pretty marginalized.
Produced.
If we're just talking production, yeah, I think those are the, I don't really have a big problem with, the production on Animalized, though, either.
I do.
You know what? We're overstating this. This is just gone but not forgotten. So, thanks for all the cool stuff, Michael. I think he was 80 years old. I'm not sure what... I had heard he wasn't well leading up to his appearance on the Kiss cruise, so I was kind of it was kind of nice to see him on there because it seemed like maybe something had turned. But didn't he go? I think it was him. He was on Three Sides of the Coin, and they asked him a question, and he was extremely vague in his response, along the lines of he wasn't really sure. And then apparently Paul got upset that it wasn't a little more black and white, so he had to go on and say, "That thing that I was vague about, I'm sorry for." Not remembering, you know, anyway.
Yep.
That was good.
I remember that. Yeah. You listen, Paul, Michael, you got to go back on that show with those 3-5 guys. His lip's getting worse as he gets older. I'm not sure.
Actually, it's just your impression is getting worse as you get older.
Is that what it is?
Okay. He did have a tweet, of course, that talked quite a bit about himself. Do you want me to read Paul's tweet on Michael James Jackson?
Did he insert himself in the conversation?
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is this is Paul talking about Michael James Jackson's passing. Michael James Jackson, my dearest and best friend for 40 years, has died. His kindness and steadfast commitment to me and our friendship was a rock that supported me through the toughest times. He pushed me to start painting and revealed unselfishly in all my successes. Heartbroken. A lot of me, me's, and my's in there.
I was going to say, I counted, I did a ding for my two my's, and there's three me's.
Okay. And how does Gene feel finding out that this is his best friend?
Yeah, exactly. Gene, that's his best friend. He's been hanging out with a lot of Michael James Jackson over the last 40 years, huh?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I'm not going to question the friendship or the relationship at all.
Of course not.
That was a very Paul Stanley, you know, remembrance. I am now reaching out to the Paul Stanley group to see if they can, in advance, write a eulogy for me.
Cool. I can play it together there.
of course, have some more Sam Loomis news since
it's
we last.
Sam.
It's Sam. Since we last talked, the Sam Loomis YouTube page has been pulled down. All the video gold and bonerific Kiss footage that he supplied us with is as quick as it came, it disappeared. So Sam Loomis, of course. And now we put it together after the last show, but Sam Loomis is a name from the Halloween movie, The Doctor. And you actually had a fun fact about that this morning that... that was actually the, you know, because Jamie Lee Curtis's mom, Janet Lee, was in the original Psycho, and wasn't that a character from that movie too? Was his name Sam Loomis? Yes. So it was an homage from who made Halloween? Was that Carpenter?
Yep.
Okay.
And we could have probably all solved that by just doing a quick Google search during the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, instead of doing that, we're IMDb-ing Kiss Meets a Phantom of the Park.
If you actually just type in Sam Loomis, it would say all this information. But we typed in Sam Loomis Kiss Fam of the Park, and fucking Google exploded. Like, why would anybody want to connect those two things? And there was no information.
Matt Porter private messaged both of us to let us know that Sam does have a last name. I've already forgot it, but apparently the...
I know. Well, yeah, let's get that. At least we can get that fact out there, right? Come on.
I'm pulling it up right now. But yeah, it's just apparently. What's his girlfriend's
name
in Phantom of the Park?
You need to know this. I don't know. I don't know. That's on you, man. You're the person that's watched this movie lots and lots of times.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Melissa is her name, and she apparently says Sam's name at some point when she's looking for him. His last name is Farrell.
I'm sorry, Farrell. Yeah, that's great.
It could be Farrell. Like Sam Will Farrell. Farrell. Sam Farrell. I haven't gone back and watched Farrell. It for this year's viewing, so I don't know it off the top of my head. But anyway, thanks for that, Matt.
Yeah, I just love the fact that we have a fact checker for Phantom of the Park.
There in the world. Yeah, yeah. It's this whole, like, I shouldn't even need that, but I have it.
I know.
I wonder how many times Matt's watched. Matt and I should have a Phantom of the Park off, see who actually knows more about it. Do like a Jeopardy style game. You know,
I can put that together. I think that would be a great episode.
What could the categories be like? I'm not good at Jeopardy, but.
Yeah.
What is Sam Farrell? Ding!
Yeah. Exactly. What's Sam's last name? And then fucking Matt just whips it off. That's, yeah. I don't know. That would be either our highest or lowest rated episode.
So this is all tied back to Sam Loomis's YouTube page. Now, I haven't had a chance to check it out, but apparently they get into some of the background of who Sam Loomis might be on the latest Shout Out at Loudcast. They have that Roy Dam guy back.
Yeah, can I just call this whole thing about the videos coming out? Can we call it Kissy Leaks?
Kissy Leaks. I like that. What about Kiss Gate? Everybody likes Gate.
Yeah, but Gate is kind of like the Palooza. Everybody likes to throw Gate.
I would say the same thing. Any type of like Wiki Leak kind of thing is.
Yeah, but Kissy Leaks kind of sounds better. Kind of like Kissy kind of sounds like Wiki. Kissy Leaks. I don't know. I'm campaigning for it. Kissy Leaks.
Fair enough.
Consider it.
Copyright
in the Kiss
LC.
Facts forum. Yeah, that's it.
Did you hear that on Pods and Sods?
I did not. No, I didn't. You could tell that it wasn't that great, so it must have not been from.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Show. Yeah.
Fair enough.
You can definitely tell it was an original.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, LC's got his own material when it sucks.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, the Kissy Leaks. What do you got to tell us about the boys over at the Shout Out Loudcast?
No, just best thing you can do to find more information about this is to listen to fellow Pantheoners, Shout Out Loudcast with Tom and Zeus, and they interview a guy named Roy Dam, who is in the bootleg world and is a bit of a character. They had him on a couple weeks ago, and basically they had him on there to find out, are you Sam Loomis? Because he was talking about all kinds of like underground Kiss footage and things like that a couple weeks ago. So yeah. I listened to it last night, and Roy Dam, per him, is not Sam Loomis, but he has a theory about who it is, and I can't really tell it without screwing it up because it goes all over the place. He's a very animated kind of character with his storytelling. But I'm not sure how you want me to go with that. But I kind of don't want to just throw the guy's name out there because I don't know, you know, and I can't really.
Well, you know, it's not like there's any criminal activity being alleged here, right? I mean, and I think you can speculate on certain things.
Well, it kind of ruins the reveal of the show, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you're all about spoilers for other shows?
I think if we want to say who Roy Dam thinks it is, I think if people want to be kept from being spoiled, they can skip ahead at this point. They can figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well, then in that case, again, not my theory, just reporting the news and everything is that.
Do you hear that, Cobra lawyers?
That's right.
Disclaimer. This is not reflective views of Elsie or Abaco, or maybe it does, but we don't know.
Yeah. What would you call this? This is even worse than hearsay. Right, like we're first off, here's how bad it is. The information is coming from the KISS community to begin with, then it's being filtered through another podcast, and then to another podcast. So what level of that is that legally?
I don't know. Well, all we are is referencing quotes from a guy in the industry, and by his own account, is an expert in this exact field. So, I think it's just hearsay. So,
okay, it's just hearsay. But
you really seem to be worried about this, and I'm not. So.
No, I'm having a little bit of fun with it. But the fact that we are saying it and we're respected rock journalists, does that then move it up? Is that now?
Oh, do we add weight to it with the level of respect that we've earned in the field of rock journalism? Oh, yes, of course, we definitely do.
Okay. Well, then in that case, the theory is that there's a person in the KISS community named Andrew, and he has made a lot of edited KISS work. What, the greatest show on earth?
This is that guy, Andrew. Right. I can't remember his name. I apologize. Is it Spam Getty or something like that?
Something like that.
All right.
And I've watched. Have you watched some of his videos before?
They played at Rockin' Pod, didn't they? Played the whole thing.
Yep. And the theory is from Roy is that he is the person that released this in retaliation for – that's the part I get confused about. So no idea. But that's the theory is it's this gentleman that's involved somehow. And the timing of it is time to where the greatest show on earth for the Hot in the Shade – I don't know what that one was called. But it was about to come out a couple months ago. Then all of a sudden, boom. Did not come out for whatever reason. Like, and this was promoted by Bruce Kulick and other people that were, you know, it would make sense to promote it. So I'm not sure how that connects to that. But
well,
again,
something happened with that first one he did too. And it's because it got pulled out of YouTube initially. So I don't know if KISS got involved. My theory, and again, this is 100% personal speculation. Without knowing any of the parties that well. So this is, take it for what it's worth. I was more under the impression that, like, when all that KISS stuff dropped, like, his heart sank. Like, well, this is way better than the footage I have available to me. You know, it's like, it's all this really cool stuff that, like, you know, because, I don't know, that also because this was very much, it was clear that this was somehow trying to fuck over Kirk Gooch. I think that part is pretty obvious, and I'm not sure how that would tie in with anything Andrew would do. So there's an alternate theory that exonerates Andrew to a certain extent.
Why go against a guy that has had footage and has held it and has been selling it?
If your plan is to use it and put it out anyway, how would this benefit you? I think the Hot in the Shade thing, that kind of sounds like maybe KISS got involved. Again, just speculating. I have to listen to that episode of Shout Out Loudcast. I know they break it, flesh it out in much more detail. But, you know, I'm speculating on this based on just my experience as a KISS fan, the digging I did when those videos first started hitting and all that kind of stuff. So, and also just I almost immediately thought of that Andrew guy who did the greatest show on earth. Because he was so into the KISS footage and doing his own edits and things of that nature. So,
bing.
Anyway.
You did the nature.
Oh, okay. I like things of that nature. I think I have to. There has to be something else I say that we need to get rid of.
Okay, so you're against the going after the nature part. That's fine.
I just feel like it's a nice little segue piece. But God, I do say it a lot. I just don't know what to replace it with, man.
That's the point being.
The point being.
That's what I do.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, I took a flip-flop off.
I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding.
I know.
See?
Yeah.
We all have it.
Oh, absolutely. Drink.
See? That's all of them. We're nude.
All right, any more on Sam Loomis? Go check out the latest episode of Shout Out Loudcast and get more from Roy Dam.
Listen, it's the same thing I talked about with LA Guns. Like, you're not going to get this with Alabama Shakes or any of these other bands like this. This is the greatest genre. Kiss is the greatest fodder band. Like, this, there's so much to talk about. So, however this goes, it's for whatever reason, it's fascinating to me. It's fun to talk about, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a drink. This is my zone. This is this is what gets me through an escalator ride.
What? What does that even mean?
Well, I think I've touched on it before, but I'll do it again. I really dislike the phrase, you have too much time on your hands. I always found it kind of insulting, because it's always when somebody who's like, basically their entire life is work, kid, work, sleep, kid, work, sleep, kid. The idea that you can't have an original thought or think about things that aren't that important, you know, the type of person that says that is the type of person that goes on a reality show and says something like, if I have to choose between the well-being of my child or my cat, I'm going to choose my child every time. So,
well, of course.
Yeah.
Fuck cats.
Somebody had just said that to me over some innocuous comment in the vein of like what we're talking about, just unimportant Kiss shit. Who's Sam Loomis? That kind of stuff, right? Just something random like, why don't they make a lemon Coke? I don't even know what it was that I said. You have
this conversation's great.
Yeah. And I literally thought of what I was doing when I thought about that the first time, and I was riding a fucking escalator. And I literally looked at this person and about as shitty as I could said, I was riding an escalator. What the fuck else was I supposed to be doing? Solving, curing cancer? I mean, why is it that, I don't know, people have such a hang up with opinions that they either don't like or don't understand. And the idea that like, can I be against the Pantera reunion in theory and not really care that much? Or do I have to make it my fucking life's mission? Why is everything so fucking, you know, important all the time? You either are wasting your time or you're doing important things like having a family, going to work, going to sleep, going to school. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever.
Watching Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. You sit around and fucking talk about Grey's Anatomy. So go fuck yourself. Yeah, So that's where I'm riding. What else am I going to do while I'm riding an escalator comes from? It is a literal incident where someone said, you have too much time on your hands. You know what, bitch? You just don't have a fucking brain. That's your problem. You're just jealous. I'm walking around here with an average functioning mind that can handle things of this nature. I caught myself that time.
What I've learned here is that
damn it.
I need to maximize my time more, because when I'm on an escalator and I'm just staring at the stairs moving. I'm just waiting for the last one to vanish so I don't fall and end up like a scene in Mallrats.
Yeah. Get trapped.
Yeah, I get trapped.
That kid is on the escalator again. Let's move into the Nita Strauss news. It's confirmed. She has joined Demi Lovato's band and And since then, Demi Lovato has been spotted wearing a Voivod t-shirt.
Okay. Well, all I know is that I didn't know who she was, and then I did know who she was because I remember her, that she was somebody that OD'd, and I heard about that like maybe 2 years ago. Right?
Yeah, I think I'm probably a little more familiar with her than you because she was on Disney Channel for something when Jade was that age watching Disney Channel all the time.
Oh, so I didn't even know that was her background, too. So she's a Disney kid.
I believe so, yeah.
All right.
I got called out on Sam from Phantom of the Park, so I'm looking forward to somebody who knows that she was, like, not Disney. Maybe she was Nickelodeon or something, you know? I got my things confused. Yeah, so, and she did just drop, like, a new hard rock kind of pop-punk single a month or two ago. So Nita Strauss has actually joined her at one of those late-night shows. And played.
Huh. All right. Well, they needed some somewhat credibility on guitar. You have another empowered woman in the band. That makes sense, you know, for her. And now she doesn't have to get gawked at by a bunch of 65-year-old Alice Cooper fans anymore.
There's a bunch of fucking old men in their 50s and 60s with their shirts tucked in that are convinced this is the stupidest move she could do. Why would you leave Cooper to go to that? My God. I don't know.
Better,
probably because of you, fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure also it's a better paycheck and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
yeah, who knows? I don't know how much you made in Cooper.
I'm sure it's fine. It's good employment, all that. But I would say I am actually thrilled. When I heard it, I was like, good. Because like I told you, my quick recap was that the last time I saw it was like the Alice and Nita show. There was so much focus on her and doing solos and a lot of it really was a back and forth. Like she was, but really, when you look back at it too, the fact that she's being replaced by who's the muscle man?
Kane Roberts.
Kane Roberts, same idea. That's the male version of her. And like, this doesn't take away from their ability. I'm saying like Alice has always been about the show. Right. And then it was like, he was kind of like a prop during the 80s. And then all of a sudden they had Orianthe and her. And that's been like there was a lot of times they didn't have that, but never in those instances did it start turning that I can recall into like a different type of show where it was like more feature on that, where it should just be Alice. So I'm thrilled with it. It makes sense for her career. Cool. Fine. I don't know what else you want to mention on that.
Well, but, Alice, in hindsight, a couple weeks prior, he had some very glowing comments about Nita. And to me, and you know, especially when you throw in your experience where you shared on the show, it was a little too much of the Nita and Alice show when you went to see him. I almost think that Alice could kind of feel like he was, like a guy who knows his girlfriend's about to break up with him, so he books a weekend at a bed and breakfast. You know what I mean? Okay. That's how maybe this it feels a little bit like that. As far as steady employment, Alice Cooper might be a more safe environment, for the financial end of stuff.
I
do think joining Demi Lovato seems like, well, we have no idea. Is this going to last a month or 2 years?
Sure.
But I'm more with, I don't care who's in Alice's band as long as they play good. I've always felt the praise heaped on Nita seemed a little gross because it was like almost like dog whistle pervert. Like, you know, she's really, really, really good. Like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's top notch. I'm like, yeah, do you really? Because why do you not mention anybody else in the band? Why is it always just her?
Yeah. No, of course. Yeah. Of course. All that. So makes sense. And then the other part is, too, is that you got to think about things that in music, just like anything else, does it make sense for her to be pigeonholed? I heard that in that zone. Now she can do something else. So she can be a hired gun throughout her career. I can do this kind of genre. I can do that. Mm. So good on her.
Yeah. You know, and then she can make her own documentary where she bitches about being a hired gun.
Right. That's all the end game is. But you want to know what my theory was? My terrible theory of where she was going. And I'm not making a joke.
Pantera.
That would have been amazing. Yeah. This one makes almost as much sense, only because there is a history of Alice losing people to this band. But going with the hired gun part was what's the guitarist's name in Hired Gun that put it together?
Oh, Jason Hook.
Jason Hook used to be in Alice's band. Then he was in Five Finger Death Punch, and now he's no longer. I didn't know that part. Okay, yeah. but I was like, oh, what's kind of something that would stand out and be like, wow, that's crazy, and that's whatever. I'm like, I thought she maybe was going to go to Five Finger Death Punch.
That'd been funny.
Right, because it's like, okay, this crazy ass band, now we have a girl in our band too, and it's Five Finger Death Punch, and it's a novelty or whatever like that. So that was my theory.
To circle back to something you said, you mentioned Orianthe a little bit ago. She recently made headlines on one of the music sites, basically saying that, you know, her phone blew up with people asking her if she was rejoining Alice. So, the guy with the really veiny, gross arms is back.
Yeah, if you ever that guy could make a second living just giving blood. What do you think?
God, I think it might be tainted.
You think? Oh, okay.
You get a blood donation from him, you might muscle up a little bit.
I don't think that. I think it's all pure.
Yeah,
okay. It's just chicken. Boiled chicken and good health.
Yeah, could go for a jog now and then.
Yeah,
do you think him and Bobby Rock are brothers? They've always
they might be.
Why are those two not in a band?
That's true.
God.
Yeah. You talk about I would support a Man of War reunion with those two guys. What do you think? Loincloths?
Don't you think that would have been perfect, like in the early 1990, 91 when that whole scene was dying and you saw some of these kind of like cheap kind of groups put together? That would have been those two having their own band, like, you know, whatever you want to call it, Roberts and Rock. You know?
Roberts and Rock. And then you also have the guy on saxophone from Lost Boys.
Yeah. He's got to be looking for work at that time.
Yeah. Right. He's probably still in his prime. Who else? Who'd be the other guy? And throw one of the guys from the whoever didn't make it that far that was in the volleyball scene from Top Gun. Throw him in there too.
Right. What about, I was thinking more like Schwarzenegger, just.
Oh, that's true.
These guys lead vocals.
That's true. I think that Van Damme would be more up to the task for that kind of lineup. The
guy can barely speak English.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he could
maybe play bass.
What else we got here? This is a freewheeling Cobras and Fire episode like I love them.
Oh, God.
Yeah? Warmed up. We should warm up for a half hour before most episodes.
Jeff Tate, you know, we covered his wine tour through Europe. For people that have a hard time getting a passport that live in the United States, he's got a great opportunity happening here. You can spend a week with Jeff Tate in Montana. Now, I have all the details ready to break down, from cost of the different packages to the actual itinerary of each day. Where would you like me to start?
Well, I just need to know how far away it is from Bozeman, because that's the easiest airport to get into.
Well, you're going to arrive in Montana. It just says that. Let's see here.
Beautiful country, that Montana.
So it's an eight-day tour. All right. So if you're traveling by yourself, to hang out with Jeff Tate and a bunch of other guys with their shirts tucked in. It's $2,500 per person. So you meet and travel with Jeff across Montana. This includes all accommodations, internal transportation to all sightseeing events and events, an entrance that covers any entrance fees for any of the events, and all breakfast and two dinners are included. So apparently you don't get lunch, but you eat dinner twice. And if you have two people, the best value, it's they get a reduced rate. So if like you and your wife went, it's $4,500 for the pair.
10%.
And that one is sold out, believe it or not. Yeah. So you and I should have done it. Yeah. Well, you know.
Maybe. So 45. How are we getting place to place?
I'll see if it breaks that down. I have everything set here, but I'm guessing you have to get there. You know, it's kind of like a cruise. I'm guessing that much anyway.
No, I get that. I'm just saying the actual travel accommodations taking us place to place for 8 days.
Oh, that'll definitely be covered in here. I'm guessing it's another one of the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans. Which are very
with no seats. just an empty Sprinter van.
No. They're damn near like a motorhome. It's a giant limo for fuck's sake.
Oh, all right, that's not bad.
All right, so it starts on. This is for 2023. You are day one on a Sunday, July 16th. You arrive in Montana and settle into your historic lodgings. You go to the local brewery and enjoy an evening with a few pints while Jeff might sing. Maybe you gotta convince him. So, you know, come on, Jeff, come on. Yeah, get up there and sing us some Empire.
Do you want me to translate these steps for you while you're going through them, or you just want to hit them all?
No, you definitely need your input here.
Okay, well, historic is the Motel 6 that's been there since 1965.
Well, the picture looks nicer than that, but who knows? I don't know what a Motel 6 in Montana looks like.
Okay. Enjoying a few beers means Coors Light is free. Anything else, you have to pay the difference. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like a drink maximum. Like,
there's definitely drink tickets that are signed. It's signed by GT on the back, his initials.
All right. Well, on day two, you get up in the morning and tour a local distillery and learn how to distill several different kinds of spirits and watch Jeff and some guy named Kieran make up some new cocktails for you to try. So Jeff turns into mixologist. You go to a local restaurant. By the way, go-to is spelled as one word, go-to. Go to a local restaurant and try some Montana gourmet. I wonder if Sean Cullen meets us there. Finally finish the night with a campfire complete with guitar playing and a sing-along with Jeff and his band. So that's kind of neat.
Can we go back to the distillery part?
Yeah.
Okay, when it says that you learn how to distill, it says that he's actually signed you up to four hours of unpaid intern work at the location. Each is part of the terms of service.
Staffing shortages are hurting the industry.
Staffing shortages are bad in Montana right now. So he's actually working with the local employment agencies. So the camp sing-along. I could just be at the camp sing-along and just say, no fucking Silent Lucidity again. That is not a campfire song. Yeah?
That's the best he's got, man.
It's too earnest. It's too on the nose, Jeff.
It pains me that he made people look up the word lucidity.
Yeah, that and like, what else do you want to, what would you like to hear in a campfire song? Something off American Soldier? You think that's a good one?
I Walk in the Shadows.
Into the Now Frontier.
If it's going to be his full band, I saw him play acoustic, and they literally can do anything. So I don't know.
That's cool.
I don't know, though. It says Jeff and his band. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, okay. Keep going.
All right. Well, we'll skip ahead to day four. Now, this mentions some driving, so maybe up to this point you're kind of local wherever you land at there. You drive to a place called Flathead Lake, stopping at the old Jesuit mission at the foot of the Mission Mountains.
I'm sorry. Say that again? Just one more time.
Stopping at the old Jesuit mission at the foot of the Mission Mountains. Not familiar with the Mission Mountains, but whatever. Then you take a party boat. hang out at a mission, which sounds like fun. And then you get on a party boat with Jeff and the band around the lake. And do some shopping in an artist town later for some souvenirs. Some souvenirs.
Yeah. So I will translate that. The Jesuit mission and going on a party boat means get you drunk and lubed up before you actually join a cult.
Yeah. You visit a mission where you now live.
That's right. So keep going.
All right. On the next day, day five, Jeff will take everybody out to visit Big Hole National Battlefield, which was created to honor the 90 Nez Perce Indians who fought and died in August of 1877. And next week, we will continue a day of history by visiting an incredibly well-preserved, true Old West ghost town. This is like an episode of Brady Bunch all of a sudden. The ghost town was the site of Montana's first major gold discovery in 1862. We will then come home to another campfire and a chili dinner. Now, the way they spell chili is like cold, not like chili the food.
Right.
So what? We're going to freeze our asses off while we eat. Here you go.
Yeah.
I can't feel the food in my mouth.
Okay, can I translate this day?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good. Go to an old ghost town is translated to visit the ghetto and have second meal promised, which was at McDonald's, and also find out what is the cost of an Uber to get me the fuck out of here to go back to the airport.
Good luck with that. The mission that you've now joined, they make sure that cell phone services is not really available. So,
It did say on day one, surrender all communication devices.
I wonder if you accidentally get locked, or someone tries to steal the Sprinter van, and we all get locked in a jail cell with Jeff Tate in the ghost town, and just like the Brady Bunch, Jeff gets us all to like loop our belts together.
Oh my God.
Lassos it out to get the keys, which of course the bad guy left in about a 6-belt distance from the front of the jail.
I think a better selling point for this tour should just be called Locked in a Jail Cell with Jeff Tate.
Oh yeah. I love my job.
Well guys, any ideas?
It's an escape room, but you never actually escape.
It's a Montana escape state. You get hoodwinked into a cult, you move into a mission, and get locked in jail with Jeff Tate.
Oh, yeah. I love my job.
I just cracked the code, buddy. Each day, like, so day four, you go to the mission, you have to escape the mission. That's that day's escape room. Then it's the ghost town. So
actually what you're saying is that you start out with 50 people, but at the end, it's just the people that can't figure out how to fucking leave. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. The only way you get to go home is by escaping.
Yeah. I think that this is the breaking point for most people is when you go to a place called Big Hole and they try to tell you about some old Indian stuff. You're like, I think I'm done. They ran out of ideas.
Oh God. Currently I'm still in Europe with him on a wine tour. I'm not bailing on that for this yet.
Are we at day seven yet?
Day at this six. Point, I'm so day six. My so life. Now we've, if we've managed to escape jail with Jeff, we go to see some again. Go to is one word. I don't get that. Go to see some raptors and hear from a wildlife rehabilitation expert. That sounds boring as fuck. We embark on a day of horseback riding and other activities. I'm out. I haven't ridden a horse since I was 12 years old, and I don't ever want to go back. It was never fun. You can learn to do some roping or some fly fishing. I'd probably do the fly fishing. Or you could try your hand at Western line dancing and marvel at what an amazing. Oh, hold on, you got to hear this. And marvel at what an amazing dancer Jeff's drummer Danny is. Finally, we have some dinner and music to finish off the evening. And there's a picture of people looking like they might be trapped.
Okay, I'll translate that. While Jeff helps you onto a horse, you start to rethink, was Empire that good of an album? Is that what really brought me here? Weren't there some loose ends in Operation Mindcrime in that story? I'm not sure if it all connects.
Is this the same guy?
Is this the same guy here? And
And
fly.
Damn, his drummer is an amazing dancer.
Yeah, exactly. But the line dancing pulls you back in. Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would just say again, they're bearing the lead here on day seven. Another besides the jail
day
part,
six.
line dancing with Jeff Tate is also a headline. Is Achy Breaky Heart being played while you're line dancing with him? That's what I need.
I sure
gotta be.
I sure hope so. That might draw me in a little bit. Doing the Achy Breaky Heart line dance with Jeff Tate would be something I could put on my resume, for fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm.
All right, day seven. You're going to a farmer's market to taste some of the treats of the local restaurants and shop for one of those one-of-a-kind artisan items for a keepsake reminder of your trip and 8 days with Jeff. Next, you return to the band's lodge. Ooh, and you record a song with the band. If you play guitar, you're welcome to bring yours along and have a chance to add some of your playing to the song as well. So he's not like, you know, I don't understand. Like, look, if you want to play guitar in it, whatever, we'll fucking put you on. We'll come up with some way you get to play in it. I don't, like, there's some quality control going on this trip. Like, I'm sorry, Steve, that did not make the cut. We're going to go with Danny's track.
Right? I mean, I would say that whatever you record that night is going to be better than that FU album or whatever he put out. Anything on that, yeah? What was that called?
It was Frequency like, Unknown, yeah. The
Frequency
FU.
Unknown, yeah. The FU on the front of it. Yeah, and then I would say going to farmer's market and getting stuff is that I'm trying to think of anything on
You're
here.
You're like passing notes to the vendors that just say, help me.
That's true.
Anytime you're, saying, you're like in a bathroom with a pen and toilet paper, Jeff's knocking on the door. Hey, how's it going in there, buddy? Bum, 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 bum. Taking kind of a long time there.
I would say going through the farmer's market after biting into an apple, realize that you're coming down off of a peyote trip for the last 4 days just to make sure that Jeff can get that final payment to go through.
Oh, God. Well, day eight sounds like the best day.
Yeah, okay.
They take you back to the airport and you head home.
I'm in. There's no translation there. You get back your cell phone and you're allowed to take pictures again.
Yeah. So what does that come down to? It's less than $500 a day. I'm not sure that I would consider that a value.
There's no way I would do that. Listen, after if you thought that I got a little antsy on a fucking cruise boat for 2 or 3 days. I am going to lose my mind.
I forgot
day
about
two
that.
Or three
I
of
cannot.
This.
I personally can't do an 8 day vacation. It's just fucking
no way.
Unreal. No, cannot.
No way. No way.
But anyway, for fans of Jeff Tate and Montana, and if maybe, mm-hmm. like I said, we could stop in and visit Sean Cullen at some point.
I'm down.
If it's allowed.
Sure.
Yeah. Hope you're not doing anything stupid in there, buddy.
Yeah, I think day two is call Sean Cullen.
Hey, can I stay at your house till Sunday?
Yeah. Can I pay you $4,500 and get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, can you come get me? Sean arrives on a horseback.
I think that's an extra.
And then you got to hop
that's
on. Extra, back.
That's extra income for Sean. Is just to contact everybody that's going on this trip first.
Yeah, business.
And he's the escape.
Business idea, Sean. Yes. Get the list of people who bought this. Send them an email like, hey, contact me and I'll come get you for $500
right.
per person.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Jeff Tate, for contributing another tour. Another very creative guy. What can I say?
I'm looking forward to hear the Decibel Geek recap of this because I think both him and Aaron are going to go.
Oh.
That's
yes,
why it sold
yes.
out. There was only one package available.
Oh, for that's correct. It was all in.
So we got two.
All right, let's get out of here, man.
Yeah, this has been fun. Let's call it an episode.
Let's call it. Rock's Not Dead.
It's Locked in a Jail with Jeff Tate.
one of Eddie Trunk's funniest things that I ever thought he said was, what kind of intro music would you have? And he said, oh, I'd like to use Pantera's Walk because it's a rocking song and it's also what I'm doing when I'm hitting the stage. Okay, very deliberate.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.